Already two down, three to go with this work week. Taking you home on a Tuesday, it is the Sports Rush, your daily local sports fix, 4 to 6. I am Brett Rump, along with Adam Lundy. Coming up this hour, got a chance for you to win with Tuesday Time Capsule Trivia. Also, Ball State head coach Mike New is going to join us coming up at 5:20. Of course, much has been made about the Tua Tagovailoa situation with the concussion that maybe wasn't during Buffalo, at least the reports. He did not suffer concussion. It was back injury that made him stumble and crumble to the ground. We all have our doubts. Certainly, that's understandable. But in further proof that the system is broken, Pro Football Talk reported this yesterday that late in the first half of the Sunday night football game, the Bucs tight end Cameron Brait suffered an apparent head injury and a few plays later was allowed to re-enter the football game. And then at halftime, it was determined that he was entering concussion protocol. So he actually was allowed to get back on the field and continue playing. And, you know, you got to do something to fix it. And it's a shame that you have to have guys like Tua that end up being sacrificed as an example for others, because somebody's got to wake up and make sure that if you're going to have these protocols in place, they're followed. Guys don't get out and risk themselves, because every player is going to believe that he's okay and can go back in. I mean, unless you just absolutely have been knocked out cold. Most of these guys are probably going to believe that they're good to go right back into the game. And Cameron Brait re-entered the game, was allowed to, and it wasn't until halftime that they put him in the concussion protocol. 46862, Parkview Sports Medicine text line, 46862. I guess it is time. Might as well go ahead and get it going, right?
Yeah, let's do it.
It is Tuesday. That means it is time for Tuesday Time Capsule Trivia. If you want to be today's contestant, all you've got to do is jump on the phone and call us up at 447-8500. That is 260-447-8500. Looking for our first caller today to be our contestant on Tuesday Time Capsule Trivia. You know, last year at this time, we were talking about Purdue as a potential Final Four team. And this year, we're talking about Indiana as being that potential Final Four team. Now, maybe, you know, a little bit of a reach for IU right now. I think they're probably a top 10 to 15 team. Are they a top four? I think that's about the limit of their potential. But certainly Indiana has the lineup, has the newcomers, has the experience, has the returnees. But let's not forget about what Purdue's got. They're kind of lurking in the shadows this year. Very little talk about the Purdue Boilermakers. And I look at their roster and say, okay, the front line is loaded. Zach Edey returns. Caleb First returns. Mason Gillis returns. Trey Kaufman Wren comes off his redshirt year. He'll be available. You've got the 7'2 center from Sweden that comes into the program.
Yeah,
I don't know how they keep finding these guys. It's almost like the search for Bigfoot. You know, you go out and you find these guys. Purdue's the only one apparently that can find them. Willie Berg is his name. And then I think the big question is going to be the transfer guard, David Jenkins Jr., who I'm familiar with from his time at South Dakota State, taking on the Mastodons in the Summit League. He's going to have to score. He's going to have to create from the guard position, because they undoubtedly have the front line. The question is, what kind of guard player are they going to get? What kind of three-point shooting? So Jenkins has to step up and be huge. But the other guy I think that has to have a breakout year is Brandon Newman. He's a guy that can get hot from three. And if he can shoot it from distance, because they got to replace Stefanovic, they got to replace Ivy from distance.
Yeah.
And so Ethan Morton, three-point shot, not necessarily the best part of his game. He's a skilled passer. Fletcher Lawyer, Braden Smith come in as freshman guards. But I think the key is you're going to have to find somebody that can fill it up from distance. Otherwise, you can pack the paint against all these bigs. So you got to be able to stretch the floor, give the bigs some space, and I think Purdue will be in good shape. But let's not forget about those Boilers.
Let's not.
All right, it is time to play, like it is every Tuesday, some Tuesday Time Capsule Trivia. We go to the phone line. We've got a contestant standing by, ready to take his punishment for the day. And who is this?
Oh, this is Ray, man.
Who is this?
Ray.
Ray? Hey, Ray. How are you, man?
I'm just chilling.
All right. Well, cool. Let's do this game. Do you know how to play?
Not at all. What are y'all doing in the podcast alone?
Pardon?
I said, no, I don't know how to play at all.
Okay, here's how it goes. We're going to give you an event, and you've got to tell us what year it happened. But then the advantage is each time we're wrong, then we're going to get another event that happened in that same year, and then we're going to get another event that happened in that year, and then another event that happened in that year, and eventually, hopefully, we get enough events in the year that we can guess the year. So we're going after the year. Okay, Ray?
All right. How far are y'all going back?
Well, it could be anything from 1970 to this year.
All right.
All right, here we go.
All right, let's do it.
It's time for Tuesday Time Capsule Trivia on the Sports Rush.
All right, clue number one. In the Ladies PGA Championship, Se-ri Pak of South Korea wins three strokes ahead of Beth Daniel.
Okay, it's a women's golf question. Ray, is that anything that you've got experience or knowledge in?
Not at all. I thought you were going to do just football and basketball.
See, it'll get easier as we go. That's at least the idea. It starts tough and then gets easier. You've got an opportunity on this when you can either take a guess or you can pass it to me and have me take the first guess. Okay, I will say 2008.
All right, now it's your turn to guess a year.
06.
All right, moving on to clue number two. British Canadian Lennox Lewis retains boxing's World Boxing Championship heavyweight title with an eighth round knockout of Mike Tyson.
Okay, now certainly you, even if you're a big football basketball fan, Ray, you know, you know Mike Tyson, right?
Yeah,
04. He's already on it. He's saying 04. Okay, I will say 2005.
Nope, both of you didn't get it, so we'll go on to the next one. In
My turn first this time.
This time first,
so
yes.
We got to keep Ray from jumping in too quick here.
In Wimbledon women's tennis, Serena Williams beats older sister Venus for her first Wimbledon singles title.
First title. Okay, so I'm going to say... Okay, I'm going to say 2003.
02.
Oh, Ray! Oh. Ray, feeling it. Oh, man. Didn't even, you know what? We never had one football or basketball question, and Ray got it today. Ray, you're the man. You just got a large pizza at a Pizza Hut. Stay on the line. Adam will get the info we need to get you your large pizza. Congrats, man. You beat me. It doesn't happen often.
I bet.
All right. So, hey, that was fun with Ray today on Tuesday Time Capsule Trivia. You had one more clue, right?
I have two more.
Oh, two more. That was the third one.
He got it on the third.
Wow.
So, my last two clues, if you want to know. Stanley Cup Final. Detroit Red Wings beat the Carolina Hurricanes 3-1 for a 4-1 series win.
Ray would still have gone 4 in.
But,
number five.
Basketball. The Los Angeles Lakers beat the New Jersey Nets for their third straight title.
So Ray would have been on it.
Absolutely.
Because he said he wanted basketball or football.
And he still won.
And he still won on a Serena Williams question. So congratulations to Ray, today's winner on Tuesday Time Capsule Trivia. Coming up here in just minutes, we're going to be talking to Ball State football coach Mike New. After Ball State had that impressive win on Saturday, coming from behind against Northern Illinois, they were down by 10 points with less than 4 minutes left, kicked a field goal, and then got the game-winning or game-tying touchdown with just seconds remaining, and then won it in overtime at home this past Saturday. So really good win for the Ball State Cardinals. We're going to talk to Coach Mike New about Ball State football and what's ahead for the Cardinals as we give some love to our friends about an hour south down in Muncie. 46862 is Parkview Sports Medicine text line. By the way, we're asking the question today, all-time favorite TV shows, because Rolling Stone came out with a ranking of their best all-time TV shows, ranked The Sopranos number one. And now we've gotten a number of people that said Andy Griffith Show. We've had MASH. We've had what are some of the others? Oh, Saturday Night Live. But we're asking the question, what is your favorite all-time TV show? I wonder how many people in my generation remember This Week in Baseball. When I was a small kid, I mean, we're going back to like Little League days. That was the best thing every Saturday, was getting ready to see This Week in Baseball, because it was like the only chance you actually got to see baseball on TV, showing multiple teams, multiple different games. And of course, now you see almost every game live. But back then, the only chance you had to see highlights of some of your favorite players was on This Week in Baseball with Mel Allen. Wonder how many people remember that show. But what's your favorite all-time TV show? I know I mentioned Cheers, Seinfeld, the original CSI, which for about 3 or 4 years, I thought that was fantastic. My Saturday Night Live would be Will Ferrell, Jimmy Fallon, Seth Meyers, Chris Farley. That was awesome. Tonight Show and Late Show with David Letterman, the combo back to back. I enjoyed that.
Someone asks, is that 4 losses in a row for Brett now?
No, it's not. No, it's not. Of course it's not.
Impossible.
I have lost 2 of the last 3, I believe.
I think so. And then someone also said, Samford and Son, Happy Days, Welcome Back Carter.
Welcome Back Cotter.
Yeah.
Sound like you said Carter.
Cotter.
Cotter. Cotter. You know who was the star of that?
I do not.
Well, Gabe Kaplan was Mr. Cotta, but the star of that was actually John Travolta. It's kind of where he started. So, yeah, go back to Welcome Back Cotta with John Travolta. 46862, Parkview Sports Medicine text line 46862. Got to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to be talking to Ball State football coach Mike New. Lots of answers coming in on favorite TV shows. We've got, what are some of them that we've got right now?
Yeah, we've got The Big Bang Theory. We've got MASH, then Cheers. We've got That 70s Show, Seinfeld, How I Met Your Mother, Northern Exposure. Whole lot of different shows.
Yeah, a lot of different shows. Of course, we're talking about Purdue basketball as well, as we connect with Coach Mike New from the Ball State Cardinals here in just a moment. But, yeah, I mean, you look at this Purdue team, and there's certainly some strength in the front line, but I don't know if basketball is built from the inside out anymore. I mean, it seems like it's almost built from the outside in, that you've got to have the guard play first, and then you build the inside, and of course, we've seen it with the Mastodons. They've had tremendous guards with guys like Conchar and Max Landis and Bryson Scott, and the list goes on and on. And you've got tremendous guards this year with Damian Shaw-Cui and Jared Godfrey. But you look at the Purdue Boilermakers this year, and my gosh, they could put almost an all-forward lineup on the court when you start talking about Zach Edey, just, you know, huge on the inside. Then you've got Mason Gillis, Caleb First, Trey Kaufman, Wren, you know, and others that will provide even more depth on that front line. At the guard, though, I think that's where the games are going to be won or lost. Brandon Newman has to have a big year. Of course, it looked like he had some moments as a freshman, then maybe a little bit of a step back. Now he's got to take that step forward. The former Valparaiso product, and I'm not talking about Valparaiso University. I'm talking about Valparaiso High School. David Jenkins Jr., the transfer. I think he's on his fourth school now with Purdue. And then you've got Ethan Morton, of course, who returns for the Boilermakers. But they're adding a couple of freshman guards. And I guess one of the questions for Purdue is going to be, which of the guards is going to be the impact player? Because one of them, I think, is going to have to play significant minutes. And it's Fletcher Lawyer and Braden Smith. We saw them go head-to-head last year in a regional where Westfield defeated Homestead, and Braden Smith ended Fletcher Lawyer's high school career. So, yeah, so we'll have to keep an eye on that. But yeah, definitely the front line for Purdue is in place. And so we watch for Purdue to to, I don't know, what do you think they're going to have? I mean, is it, it's an above 500 ball club. I just am concerned about what they've got at the guard because they got to be able to shoot threes. We know that's part of the college game. You've got to shoot the three ball. And with great strength inside, if they can shoot the three, they're probably going to get opportunities. But when you have to replace guys like Stefanovic, so important as a three-point shooter, when you needed buckets to either close a gap late or put a game out of reach, Stefanovic was one of those guys that could deliver for you. And they're going to need that. I don't know if it's Newman. I don't know if it's Jenkins. Not sure who it's going to be that's going to be dropping the three balls. Maybe it's Edie. Maybe Zach Edie's been working on his three in the offseason. That's a joke.
Yeah, I mean, but it's a classic Matt Painter team, isn't it? You know, a lot of big guys in the paint, and guard play kind of comes secondary, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. 46862, Parkview Sports Medicine text line, 46862. Of course, we've talked about the Mastodons, and I tell you, if you haven't gotten season tickets, I don't know what you're waiting on, because this is going to be a team that's a lot of fun to watch, because you've got 60-year seniors, 50-year seniors, the COVID year has made this team so experienced. Bobby Planudis, he returns. You've got Jared Godfrey, Damian Shonqui, Rob Petty in the middle. Deontay Billups, who was the Horizon League Sixth Man of the Year last year, he'll step in, probably be in that starting lineup. And then JoJo Peterson, who was such a fantastic player off the bench, he might end up being Sixth Man of the Year this year in the Horizon League. He's that good. A long athletic guard that I think is going to have a terrific sophomore year. Jonathan Desjardins, the big kid out of Memphis. And then add to that the newcomers, the transfer Anthony Roberts, who averaged 20 points, 10 rebounds for St. Cloud State, an outstanding Division II program. And I'll tell you, a name you're going to learn is probably Eric Mulder. He's a kid that's 6'8", 6'8 and a half, and was a punt returner. And you've heard Coach Kaufman talk about the big that was a punt returner in high school. Went to a small school, rural Iowa, kind of lost out in the suburbs of Iowa. And, you know, it's kind of like when you got to his house, you'd say, you know, is this heaven? No, this is Iowa. And that's kind of where he lives. I mean, it's almost the same picture as Field of Dreams. And went to a small school, was a punt returner for the football team, obviously a dominant basketball player, but he's extremely athletic. He's going to be a playmaker from the five position. May not be a big-time scorer, but he's going to be a rebounder. He's going to be a defender. He's a guy that you can move between the four and the five. Could have a huge impact for the Mastodons this year. And then a freshman guard, Chris Morgan, who was recruited by West Virginia. He's a freshman out of Wisconsin. Dons landed him, and I guess he is in the offseason, really impressed the coaches and coaching staff. So, yeah, it's a very deep roster for the Mastodons, very talented roster. And it'll be fun to see what the Mastodons can do. Once again, we're hoping to get connected with Mike New, Ball State football coach, who is scheduled to be calling us here. And so we will hopefully be connected with him very soon. Still coming up on the show, we'll guess the line of some of our upcoming games. Also, we'll tell you what we're doing with high school football this week. We've made a little adjustment to the schedule, and we're going to a new place. And, you know, it's always fun when we get out to the communities. Like, we went up to Kendallville, got a chance to hang out with people up in Kendallville at East Noble. We're going to do the same thing this Friday night. Okay, I'm not even going to try to tease it. I'm just going to say it, right?
Go for it.
Coming to you, Huntington, Indiana. We've got the Norwell Knights and the Huntington North Vikings this Friday night's high school football game of the week. And a chance for us to go out into the kind of the communities that surround Fort Wayne and get a chance to take our shows on the road with a sports rush, with the Parkview Sports Medicine High School Football Tailgate pregame show, with our play-by-play broadcast. We look forward to seeing the new stadium at Huntington. That's one of the reasons we're making the trip, is because they built this beautiful new stadium. And so we are going to Huntington this Friday for the Norwell Knights and the Huntington North Vikings. Of course, next week, We expect at this point to probably be at Norwell, but again, it depends on whether we've got space, because that was one of the issues we had this week with space in the press box and whether or not we can get front row seating. Of course, that is a requirement for radio. It's not necessarily for TV. They don't need front row. They got monitors. But radio people, you got to see everything because you got to call everything. You're the eyes of thousands of listeners, so you've got to be in the front.
Preferably with clean glass.
Not even preferably with clean glass, yes. So anyway, we're off to Huntington this week, and we look forward to being there and hope you make it out. I hear that they've been drawing great crowds at the new stadium there in Huntington, and the community comes out, supports the football team every Friday night. We're looking forward to it this Friday night, and that means we'll be at the Huntington Pizza Hut for the Indiana Physical Therapy postgame show right after the game. So you can come out and spend the nightcap with us at the Huntington Pizza Hut with scores, highlights, coaches, interviews, and more up until 11 o'clock. You're there, right? You're still there?
Still me.
Still you. So you've got Adam Lundy and I hanging out until 11 o'clock in Huntington this Friday night as part of our postgame show with 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. What is your favorite TV show all time? Rolling Stone says it's The Sopranos. Do you agree? Do you disagree? What's your favorite all-time TV show? Let us know on the Parkview Sports Medicine text line at 46862. Let's talk some Ball State Cardinals football. And joining us right now on the Masters Heating and Cooling Hotline, Ball State Coach Mike New. Coach, good afternoon.
How are you?
Doing very well. First of all, congrats. What an exciting win on Saturday against Northern Illinois.
Well, thank you. It was awesome effort by the players. In the second half, they're just continuing to fight and scratch and claw and just figure out a way to get it done. Really proud of the effort and just the attitude that whole second half.
What does it mean to have a guy like John Paddock at your quarterback position, especially when you need those late rallies?
You know, John is a tremendous leader, you know, and that's the one thing I really appreciate about him. When you hear him communicate with his teammates on the sideline, when maybe things don't look so great and he's encouraging those guys to keep fighting and, hey, we can figure out a way to get this thing done. And he communicates at a high level with all the offensive guys, the defensive guys, the special teams guys, and really his leadership was certainly on display at a high level on Saturday afternoon.
You know, you needed to come up with a stop late to give yourself a chance down two scores. And the MAC not really identified as a top-flight defensive conference. And I don't say that in taking a shot at the conference. It's the reality of the scores that you see each and every week. But your defense stepped up when you needed them to. What were keys?
Yeah, it was huge. In the fourth quarter and in overtime, the last four possessions that Northern Illinois had the ball, we really shut them down. And I think it's a credit to our defense. We always talk about being the best conditioned team on the field. And late in the game, you know, both sides of the ball played 90-plus snaps in that game. And our guys were really still playing with great effort, playing with great attention to detail late in the game when they were tired, when they had already played a bunch of snaps. And it was awesome to see. And guys really did a great job of digging deep and just delivering some huge plays at some critical moments. And you know, that's what we try to preach and practice every day is being a great situational team, and our defense did that on Saturday.
Mike New, Ball State coach, joining us on the Masters Heating and Cooling Hotline. Is there a deficit that is too big to overcome the way offenses seem to dominate in the MAC?
You know, that's a great question. I guess, you know, we're not trying to repeat that that formula that we had on Saturday. We'd like to play better in the first half, but, you know, it's – you know, obviously in the second half, having such a quick turnover to start the second half, you know, and three plays into the second half, we had a huge interception by Jaquan Amos, who earned a Defensive Player of the Week in the conference. Then we turned it into a touchdown, and there was barely 2 minutes gone in the second half, and we had already scored. So it started out the second half as good as you could script it. And, you know, I tell our guys all the time, man, just keep fighting until, you know, obviously the clock expires. And they do that. They did that on Saturday, and just really proud of the effort and the leadership from the players on Saturday.
What is it about the MAC? And I've made reference to it a couple of times, but it's the reality, Coach. It's an offensive league. A lot of big numbers are put up in MAC games and a lot of close contests. So not only is it really competitive, but there's a lot of offensive skill in this conference. What is it about the MAC that makes it that way?
You know, and I've believed that forever, even when I wasn't back here as the head coach. You know, I played in this conference back in the day, and I just simply think that this conference doesn't get enough credit for the caliber of football that's played. And there's some great players, and you mentioned it. You know, just this past weekend in our conference, there were 4 one-possession games. 2 of them went to overtime. And, you know, the way college football is now, just the way offenses are playing the game, with playing with tempo, spreading out the field, forcing defensive players to be good tacklers in the open field. That's just kind of the way the game's being played now. And obviously it's forcing defenses to play with great discipline, play a lot of snaps, hopefully get them tired. A lot of teams play with tempo to try to keep tired players on the field to make mistakes. And it's a challenge. You know, it's just the way it is, and it's very challenging as a defensive coordinator. It's very challenging overall defensively, but our guys, our defensive staff and our players do such a good job of being bought in to, hey man, just if we bend, just don't break. And that happened to us time and time again on Saturday.
Is it easier to continue on to the next game after you have a game like this, where you have those highs and those emotions? Can they carry over? Because, you know, we've talked about trap games and whether or not after a big win, if there's that natural trap the next week. Because Central Michigan, you can't be fooled by their 1-4 record. It's a better football team than a 1-4 team normally is.
You know, their record really doesn't matter right now. And it's, again, a credit to the conference. They play a demanding, challenging non-conference schedule just like all the MAC teams do. But now it's conference play. Anybody can beat anybody in this conference on a weekly basis. And, you know, I emphasized it as soon as we met on Sunday morning. We put that trophy in the trophy case, gave it its resting place, and we were on full speed ahead to Central Michigan because we have to have a great week here. We're going to Mount Pleasant. It's their homecoming. It's going to be a great challenge, and they got a heck of a football team. Our guys know that. They're not going to fall into the trap. They beat us pretty good here at home last year, and so we got to have a great week and go on the road and play our best football.
Who leads that being prepared to play? Is it a coach or is it the locker room?
Well, it's one thing to sit in front of a team meeting and talk about, you know, we have to have that next play mentality and we have to move on. But I lean on our leaders, our guys on our leadership council, the upper class players in our program. They're the ones that are going to set the tone and make sure that, you know, get the mindset and the talk in the locker room is exactly where it needs to be. And we're fortunate to have such good leaders on this team from a player standpoint. And I know our guys will, they already have. We're deep into our preparation for Central Michigan already, and these guys have approached, the week as good as you could ask them.
Coach, I know you're aware of all the fans you've got in the Fort Wayne area supporting the Cardinals. Congrats on the big win Saturday, and good luck to you this Saturday.
Well, thank you so much. It's great to be on, and obviously we love our players that we have from the Fort Wayne area, and we're looking to add more.
All right, appreciate that. That is Coach Mike New joining us on the Masters Heating and Cooling Hotline. Ball State football coach. Cardinals won it in overtime, 44-38, over Northern Illinois last week. And now they head up to Central Michigan, where they will take on the Chippewas up in Mount Pleasant. My ex-wife went to Central Michigan. Don't know that that has any application here.
Maybe a little revenge game there.
Yeah, I know. It's like, hey, coach, go kick their blank, you know. But that was nice for Coach Mike New to take some time out of his busy schedule this week. I know he's had a lot of demands with media this week with the exciting win that they had. And so it's always great when Coach Mike New joins the program. We'll take a quick break and we'll come back. We got plenty more still ahead. Guess the line for this week's games. We'll talk more high school football. All coming up before 6 o'clock on the Sports Rush on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Maybe you missed James Boyd in hour number one. Maybe you missed Tuesday Time Capsule Trivia when I went down to a rare defeat to Ray today. Also, maybe you missed Ball State coach Mike New, who just joined us here on the Sports Rush. No problem. We've got our podcast available. You can go to 1380thefan.com and connect to the Sports Rush with Brett Rump podcast. Also, you can search for us wherever you listen to your favorite podcast. Make sure you give us a follow for free. That is the Sports Rush with Brett Rump, available on all the popular podcast platforms. All right. So, Adam, NFL coming up. We've got another week of action. It's time to pick some lines. So let's go ahead and do it.
Let's do it. Let's start off with Thursday Night Football. The Indianapolis Colts going to Denver.
And the rule is I got to get within a point and a half. I think I can do this because I think the Colts and Broncos, pretty much a toss-up game. But it's going to be Denver getting some points because they're playing at home. Altitude, Thursday night, short week. So I will say it's Denver minus 3.5.
You got it. It's Denver minus 3.
Okay, there you go. See, I told you they get the points for being at home.
All right, let's do the Seattle Seahawks heading to New Orleans to take on the Saints.
Seattle's really been a surprise.
Yes,
Geno Smith.
How about it?
It's been terrific for Seattle. Really a surprise because I think we wrote off Seattle after the departure of Russell Wilson, and it turns out Geno Smith has filled those shoes really well for Pete Carroll. All right, so Seattle, New Orleans. You know, New Orleans comes back from the long trip across the pond. Difficult game against Minnesota. This is a tough one for me. I think this is, again, a real toss-up game. And it is New Orleans at home, so I will take, I don't even know who's favored, to be quite honest, but I'm going to take New Orleans minus 3.
You have to be within a point and a half, right?
Yeah.
It's Saints favored 5.5.
What?
Yeah, they're really favored.
They get Jameis Winston back?
Not sure.
Okay, let's move on.
All right, let's do the Chicago Bears at Minnesota Vikings.
Okay, see, now you're giving me some teams that we follow.
Yeah.
I mean, who follows Seattle and New Orleans? You threw a couple of teams randomly at
that
me.
That one, I was trying
now
to...
Now we've got a couple of teams.
I was trying to challenge you, but let's keep it a little
no,
local.
No, you probably just looked and it was the next one on the list. All right, I'm going to say, is it, this is at Minnesota?
Yes.
Okay, again, Minnesota comes from across the pond after playing over in London. Minnesota is going to be a favorite. Pretty comfortable favorite against the Bears. I will say Minnesota minus 6.5.
Yep, they are minus 7 favorites.
There
so
you go.
They're predicting the
real close
Vikings there.
All right, what else we got?
All right, and in a battle of mediocrity versus fairly good teams, we've got the Texans taking on the Jaguars. A little AFC South action.
There's no question the Jaguars are going to be favored. In fact, you know, if the Jaguars didn't turn the ball over, they could have beaten. They were playing with Philadelphia, right?
Yeah.
They jumped out to the early lead. And if Trevor Lawrence hadn't fumbled away the football, Jacksonville might not have fumbled away the football game.
Yeah.
But mistakes are part of football, and it is what it is. But I think we're starting to see, and I said before the season, Jacksonville was going to be an improved football team and had a chance to be like an 8-9 club. I didn't think they were going to be over 500, but I'm not leaving that out of the equation right now. But they're definitely favorites over Houston. I will say Jacksonville is a 5-point favorite. What?
They're all the way up to 7.
Oh, a point and a half.
Yeah.
Oh, I should have said 5.5.
Yep. Wow. But, Jacksonville.
7-point favorites.
Heavily favored.
Wow.
How about the Tennessee Titans taking on the Washington Commanders?
Where's it at? Washington?
It is in Washington.
I gotta like Tennessee here. I will say the Titans are going to be favorites. I'm going to go. I'm not doing too well this week, and I'm really struggling with this one, but I'm going to say Tennessee is a 4.5-point favorite at Washington. Oh, again, what am I missing by 2?
Yeah, you were close. It's minus 2.5 at Washington.
Jeez. What did I say?
4.5.
Man, I've got to make new rules for this game. I got to be within 2.
Do you want one more?
Man, do I want one more? How much suffering can one man take? Yes, give me one more.
Let's do the Cincinnati Bengals heading into Baltimore to take on the Ravens.
Oh, I didn't want one more. Man. I completely am thrown on this one. I don't know. Because, see, I like Cincinnati a lot more than I like Baltimore. But yet, I understand that Baltimore probably is getting points that I would not have given them. So I will say this is going to be, okay, just because Baltimore's lost a couple home games, I'm going to say Cincinnati is a one-point favorite.
No, you should have stayed with the Ravens. They're minus -3.
Really?
At home, yes, they are.
Okay. I'm done.
That'll do it.
I'm done. What did I get? One right out of that?
I think you were one and three there.
That's awful. You know, usually, though, if I guess the line poorly, I end up having a pretty good betting Sunday. So I hope that holds true. Coming up this Friday, we have got our game of the week in Huntington. It's the Norwell Knights and the Huntington North Vikings from the beautiful new stadium in Huntington. Saw the pictures of it today. Of course, I've seen pictures of it, but we were talking with their athletic director and getting everything set up for the broadcast this Friday night. And what a beautiful facility. I mean, it again, fantastic facility, beautiful campus right there on Highway 24. We're going to be there for the pregame show. In fact, I think we're going to be there for the sports rush starting at 4. We will then have the Parkview Sports Medicine High School football tailgate pregame show starting at 6 with Jim Shannon and Dute giving you previews of all the area week 8. Can you believe it's week 8? You know what that means? Next week is the final week of the regular season of high school football.
It really does feel like yesterday was just week 1, doesn't
what?
It?
What? Yes, yeah. It does. It seems like the season was just starting. We were just planning where we were going to be for the 9 weeks of the season, and here we are, week 8 already.
Wrap putting the bow on it
and
almost.
Norwell, obviously undefeated, yeah. Putting that at risk, going to Huntington North, any 8 battle. And, of course, we're looking ahead as well to next week, possibly being Columbia City Norwell. But Huntington, we're inviting you to come out, be part of it with us at the stadium tomorrow night. Tomorrow night. Yeah, maybe we'll just go hang out for 3 extra days. Or maybe it's just wishful thinking that tomorrow would be Friday.
Maybe.
But we'll be out there Friday for our high school football game of the week. Listen to the game right here at 1380 The Fan on 100.9 FM. And you can join us for your nightcap at the Pizza Hut in Huntington, right across the street from Huntington North High School. Adam and I will be there with scores, highlights, coaches, interviews, and more up until 11 o'clock. It is the way you wrap up a perfect Friday night of high school football with the Indiana Physical Therapy postgame show from your hometown Pizza Hut restaurant. So we're looking at seeing you this Friday, Huntington. I hope you come on out. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Put the bow on this one. It's the Sports Rush on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Great list of shows. We were asking, what are your favorite all-time shows? Bewitched had nothing to do with the show. I think it had to do with the show star. Fantasies, my friend, fantasies. But what else did we have on the list? Text in.
Someone said Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Oh, that is a great show. That is, of course, along the same lines of humor as Seinfeld.
Yeah.
Yeah, I always like that show. Any others that came in? Late entries into the favorite all-time TV shows?
I think that's all we have for
there
today.
There we go. Big show today. Tomorrow going to be another big one. We'll be joined by St. Francis Cougars football coach Kevin Donnelly in his weekly visit. What a show today. Big thanks to James Boyd from The Athletic for joining us. And a special thanks to Ball State football coach Mike New, taking time out of his busy schedule to join us as well. And, of course, we always thank you for being a part of our show and tuning in every day as well. We're back tomorrow 4 to 6 with more of the Sports Rush on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM.